I think one of the kind of interesting things about civilians is that you folks truly don't understand how fragile we are as individuals. We understand, intellectually that we're not, bulletproof or something. The military teaches you a whole nother level of frailty. Most people that stand for any length of time end up with an extremely healthy bit of respect as far as for safety. I have seen soldiers die in almost every way imaginable. There's the obvious ones of bullets and grenades and artillery rounds and that kind of stuff, which is kind of part and parcel for war. But I've seen more people die in training accidents than I've ever seen die in war personally. Everything we do, we practice before we do it. I mean, to be truly proficient in your job in wartime means you have to train to the point where it becomes second nature. And to train means that you have to come as close as you possibly can to wartime conditions. Sleep deprivation, the worst weather possible, different scenarios that put you under the same amount of stress or as close to the amount of stress as you would under in a wartime situation. So you can do your job. Unfortunately, that leaves an awful lot of time for soldiers to get killed or injured. When I was stationed in Europe in 1985, we were at a demolition range, and I had just gotten back from leave. So my platoon sergeant was punishing me because I was happy and in one piece and having fun, just come back from leave. So he stuck me on gate guard. Now, that means that there's somebody that stands at the gate of the range to make sure that nobody drives on it so they don't get blown up. And there was 29, 30 people from my platoon of 34 people that were standing in bleachers, and what they were doing is they were getting a class on a cratering charge. A cratering charge is basically a shaped explosive that you put on the ground to blow holes. We call them instant foxholes. And the person that was giving the class was using a 25-pound live cratering charge. And the business end of this cratering charge was facing towards the bleachers, where all the people were sitting in the middle of the bleachers so that they could study how to arm this weapon. The detonator was supposed to be a training detonator, a false detonator. Well, the instructor armed the weapon, thinking it was a fake, and he said, "And it goes off like this," and he hit the detonator. No one's exactly sure how that got switched with a live one, but it did. And it killed 26 people outright. And it would be like mixing a cake and lifting the mixer slowly up out of the batter, and the batter went everywhere. And that was the people. You could not have orchestrated a more deadly situation if you had sat down and figured it out. So here I am, one of three people not injured, having to figure out how I was going to contact range control and possibly try to save whoever I could's lives. And that was one of those more hellish moments in my life. Because it took us about 40 minutes before range control came out with medics and investigation people. And that was pretty hectic for me, very nerve-wracking, because I was going, "Oh my God, what happens if I come across somebody who's injured bad enough that I don't know what to do for him?" And that's kind of one of those instances that made me become a better soldier, is because I never wanted to be in the situation that I didn't know what to do.
Did that experience shake your confidence in commanding officers that such a terrible mistake could
Mistakes,
happen?
I've learned that mistakes happen. Towards the end of my career, there was a big push from the officer corps that every mistake had somebody responsible. Somebody, if something happened, somebody was responsible. Whether they didn't train somebody well enough, whether the person was too tired, whether he was lazy, somebody was responsible. I've come to learn that things can happen. I think it's a big problem in the military right now that we have an awful lot of soldiers that are in non-combat roles. The problem is that these people are being put into environments that they were, again, not trained both actually and mentally to be in. I mean, when I'm shot at, there's a level of fear, but there's an awful lot of calculations that are going on. I know how close the bullets are getting. I know, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff because I'm used to that. That's what either I was trained to do or I know what it sounds like. If you're not trained for that, you can react in ways that are dangerous to yourself. My greatest fear was to write a letter home to a soldier's parents or loved ones that said, your son died not because he did something stupid. His ass was up at the wrong time. Not an act of God that he was underneath the shell when it landed. Your son died because I didn't train him correctly. Your son died because I didn't do my job. I always taught my men to understand that the equipment that we use was designed to kill. And it didn't matter who it killed. It could kill the bad guy or it could kill you. And the moment your attention wanders, the moment that you are someplace other than the moment, it will kill you or seriously injure you, sure as rain. And this was proven very true to us one afternoon. We were at Grafenwehr, and we go out with these tanks and we train in the mud. So the vehicles get extremely dirty. Well, then we're required to clean them back up to put them back in the motor pool. So you spend a lot of time on a wash rack cleaning vehicles. Okay. We're required to use ground guides when we move a vehicle in built up areas. So in other words, if we're not out in a training area, you're in a parking lot or on a wash rack, you've got a ground guide. Somebody that's on the ground that is responsible for making sure that you're not going to hit anybody, because vehicles are pretty large. 70 tons of material takes space. One of the other things that we're required is to have a background guide when we're backing up. Whichever way the vehicle's moving, the person on the ground, you're required to follow their instructions. An APC, armored personnel carrier, was leaving the wash rack. Well, there's a line of tanks behind him. And so the guy started to have him back up so he could turn out. Because of whatever circumstance, they didn't have a background guide. So there was nobody behind the vehicle to transfer the orders so the vehicle was moving. So the one guy goes back and he's using the hose to wash off the track. And the guy's driving. Now there is no ground guide. And the 113 had its ramp up off the ground. And the ramp caught the man at about the belly button and pushed him into the 69-ton tank behind him. So it basically crushed everything across his middle. They knew that if they moved the vehicle, the man would die. And so they flew the man's wife up to Grafenwehr so that they could say goodbye to each other before he moved the vehicle. And the man died. Cleaning a wash rack. Training area. Going back to the barracks, going to leave in a couple of days, go to see his wife and his children. That one mistake cost him his life. That has shaped an awful lot of my life, those types of incidents. In Fort Hood, Texas, one of the requirements before you go to a live fire range is to have to go through a number of exercises before that, dry fire exercises. Well, the weather was really bad, and so they weren't able to train, and the company commander was getting backed up against the wall. So he had a couple of crews that needed to be trained, but he didn't have any drivers that were available. So they took an inexperienced person and put him in the driver's seat of this Bradley fighting vehicle. And Bradley is a very unique piece of military equipment. When it turns a corner, it has a turbo blower that kicks in. Sounds like a banshee wail. Anyways, the kid turned a corner and didn't understand that the turbo blower kicks in when you turn more than 20 degrees. And he sped up too fast and went into a ditch at 30 miles an hour. Flipped it over upside down, killing three people. Wednesday afternoon, graduate of West Point. Second lieutenant. Been in the Army less than 6 months. It's first training exercise. It's first live fire. Dead. Because people got lazy. I can think just off the top of my head, 25, 30, 40, 45, 50, 50 men killed in different, in any circumstance you want. You know, they talk about right now KBR having a problem with the electrical stuff and soldiers being electrocuted in Iraq in showers. It's hard for a civilian to conceive. To us, it's part and parcel. Everything around us is deadly. Everything around us is designed to kill me. I don't get into a car today without understanding that I drive a 2,000-pound vehicle that at any given moment, if I fall asleep, if my mind wanders, if I listen to the radio, if I answer the telephone, if I'm talking to my children, I could kill somebody. It tends to make us very focused individuals.